Well, can you believe it's the fourth Wednesday of the month, and here we are, March in Kokomo. Still a little chilly, but the sun is out today, so happy to be in Kokomo. What's new in Kokomo?
Well, again, thanks as always for following us and having me on the show. A lot going on. Just gave the State of the City speech, and talked about the successes we had in 2018 as well as the plans for 2019. Really based the speech on even though facts may be less used in politics, especially in places like Washington, D.C., and the truth sometimes becomes a casualty, we wanted to do a speech that was based on facts. So the speech was really talking about the things that had happened in 2018, and we reported some of the good news and some of the challenges facing our city. So some of the good news: building permits, crime down, unemployment down, all the economic activity, all those good things. And then we also talked about the challenges facing not just the state, but Howard County and with some of the health rankings and education attainment levels, things like that.
You also had some announcements for some new projects, including a bike share. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, it's ours. We've done a lot of research on what fits our city. We want whatever we do to be successful, and we want something that will encourage people to get out and be more mobile. And so we're going to put in a recreational bike share program. So this will be, obviously people can use it for errands and things like that, but it'll be along the Industrial Heritage Trail. And this, it's going to be free to city residents and free to visitors to our city. And so it'll basically be a chance to go in, borrow a bike for a couple hours. And I think that's what we're looking at. We're trying to work out the final details, but maybe for 2-hour recreational type rides. As long as you bring it back, you have to do something to secure it. But when you come back, it'll be free, and it'll just be something we offer here in Kokomo as part of our parks program.
So do you have to return it to a certain spot?
Yeah, that's the whole idea.
Like a docking?
We're basically going to have a place where you can just a bike rental. Yeah. So think of a bike rental, but it will be free of charge.
Right. Is this the first time you've had a bike sharing program here in the city?
Yeah, it is. So there may be a few a little bit of a learning curve for us, but we just look at this as something that you might see in a tourist type area where you just go and kind of spontaneously rent bikes or something.
And it's free. And
we're going to do this free. Yes.
No scooters. I haven't seen any scooters yet invade Kokomo.
We haven't. They've not really appeared that I know of.
But you're talking about also expanding the city trolley program too.
Right. We're going to expand the Orange Line, and we'll be doing that here later this spring to a few more stops along the east side of Kokomo. Think of for people here in Kokomo, it would be along Goyer Road and on East Boulevard, and a few more locations to a few more housing complexes.
It's interesting to see how cities adapt as technology and things change. The landscape of transportation changes with Ubers and things like that. So is the city transportation system, is it growing? Is it kind of moderate?
Great question. Last year, we had a slight decrease in fixed route ridership, but it was I think it maybe 1.5-2% change, so it was basically a little bit stagnant. And now we also have and ours is, as I'd like to mention, is our tout. It's a free to the rider, so it's hop on, hop off, anyone can use it. But we also have our Spirit of Kokomo that works, which is our paratransit, and that is for people with disabilities, and people 60 and older can use that. That actually increased last year, so the number of rides, and this gives you kind of think of a door-to-door service for those people that maybe for whatever reason can't get to the bus stops, things like that. So it works and coincides with the City Line trolley.
But would you say that changing landscape, though, kind of forces cities to reevaluate transportation?
Absolutely.
For the best.
Absolutely.
Right? For the better.
Right. And we should be doing that at every level. And then we've tried to do that here. We reevaluate even driving patterns, traffic patterns for vehicles. And as I like to mention, we've taken out about a third of all the traffic signals in Kokomo, some that were put in the 1950s, 1960s. And over time, we've, as traffic patterns change and things like that, and larger employers come and go, and destinations come and go, we try to reevaluate that and decide if we even need signals at some place.
I always like to just kind of get your take on some of the state house stuff. Always enjoy all the mayors' perspectives. We have two Democratic mayors and two Republican mayors, so it's a good round of background. Just read this report from our newsroom last night that the Indiana House voted Monday with no public record on how lawmakers voted and no public voice, but the list is back, or partial list, for hate crimes. So I was wondering, I was wondering if you follow that or got any
following
update,
the hate crimes bill
and what happened yesterday.
No, I did not see what happened yesterday.
Okay,
had just other things going on, but you know, just pretty pretty disappointed to say that. Look, 45 states have already passed hate crimes legislation. This is something that's important, not for the individuals or the groups that are involved. That need protection, but it's also it's about sending a clear message that we are very tolerant of other people, and we're respectful of other people, and we value diversification. And we need to send that message not only across this country, but across the globe, that Indiana is a welcoming place. So there's there's a lot of boxes that this legislation checks, and I'm just, you know, I'm hopeful that the legislature will do the right thing.
And I thought it was just interesting. It was the way that they pushed forward the amendment by a voice vote, so that the members voice shouted their vote rather than taking a roll call, so that no one knows, who voted for what. But the measure passed. So is that a good thing or is that a bad thing?
Well, I'd have to hear the audio to make that determination, because having chaired meetings before, and I've done both where we do a roll call, usually when you do a voice vote, not always, usually when you do a voice vote and there is some dissension, you usually go back and do the actual roll call. So not sure what the chair heard or the speaker heard at that point. So yeah.
Some recent news here in Kokomo made the headlines this week about the VA clinic closing. Less than a year after its opening, that was inside the city-county clinic. That's been under fire the past year or so, even so much Senator Donnelly at the time kind of launched somewhat of an investigation. And I know you're not overseeing that per se, but yet I'm sure that's not something you wanted really to see here.
No,
in Kokomo.
I did. Especially, I felt like they never really, there was, I'll just be clear, I feel like the VA never really committed to the location and to the project itself. We have a joint city-county clinic here for all city and county employees. We allow our employees to go there. It saves a little bit of on our healthcare costs, all those things, and we have space available, and we let the VA use that. And we worked really hard to get that commitment, and the fact that they just never really seemed to give it a chance, it is disappointing that they've decided to pull out.
Did anything come from that investigation or what?
No, nothing that seems to have gotten any traction, at least.
But is there a need for services for veterans in Howard County?
Absolutely. Now I'm going by other people's numbers, but it's the VA here. Last number I heard that we have the largest per capita number of veterans here in Howard County in the entire state. So there is a need. And in this, it could not only just serve people here in Howard County, but from surrounding areas as well.
So then veterans in this area will have to seek care in counties?
Yeah, Marion,
or down
sometimes.
Indianapolis,
Marion, other places, which is what they were doing before. But the whole idea was, because we have this large pool here, this would be a good location to at least have an outreach clinic.
I see you've been to a few meetings, one of them a realtors meeting, and I've spoken with some too throughout the state, and it's interesting to hear about inventory. And I'm not sure exactly where you are here in Kokomo, but the complaints I hear from realtors, there's too much city, county regulations, ordinances, kind of bogs down the process. Inventory is low. So that, of course, realtors don't like that. What are you hearing from realtors here in Howard County?
The market is strong. Homes are moving very quickly. And there's not a lot of inventory here. I don't hear the complaints from either or that are pointing towards city or county government for having anything that's disrupting the market or prohibiting the sale of homes. I think we have a lot of projects taking place where we have homes at different price levels. So, but every one of those markets are tight. But you know, you have some high end homes where there's a market for that, as well as those medium and low to mod area point of sale. So. But no, I don't hear complaints, but their homes are moving quickly, and it's been a strong market for quite a few years now.
You also took a trip to, was it Aurora, Illinois?
Yes, Chicago and Aurora. Yes.
Okay, yeah. Can you tell us a little bit about what those were about?
Yeah, I was just last week was able to go speak at Aurora University as part of a panel discussion with gentleman John Austings. He is a fellow at the Brookings Institute, and Richard Longworth, who wrote a book for the Chicago Society on Global Affairs. He's a fellow with that think tank, and he wrote a book years ago called Caught in the Middle, and it talked about the challenges facing the Midwest economy. So I served on a panel with them at Aurora University, and it was a presentation, and it was hosted by WGN Radio and the Chicago Tribune, and they led the panel discussion, and then it was a Q&A after that. And then the next day, I was able to sit in for a kind of a closed-door strategy meeting with about 35, 40 individuals from the Midwest. There were people from Minnesota, Wisconsin, Michigan, and the discussion was really about the economic challenges facing the Midwest, not so much Chicago or the major metropolitan areas and the university cities. But the challenges facing these small and mid-sized, somewhat disconnected cities, and what the future holds for a lot of those cities and towns sprinkled throughout the Midwest. So it was a great, for me, it was a great time, and I was able to learn a lot and kind of be the only elected official that was there to kind of represent these small and mid-sized cities.
And I see a pattern of this: a lot of people coming to Kokomo and speaking with you and for these mid-sized cities, because in some ways it seems like a lot of what happens here is working.
it is, and it's interesting because you get away from Kokomo or Indiana, they're able to look from a higher level or take a step back and look at what's working and do the comparisons of other cities our size, especially when you look at the challenges that we were faced with 7, 8, 10 years ago and how we've overcome those, and we have a lot of economic activity. When you look at those important things you should be tracking, population growth or private investment growth, all those things, we're trending in the right direction. And that's not necessarily the case for all cities in the Midwest that are, those mid-sized cities.
I wanted to follow up on something I read in the Kokomo Tribune, a report about an eminent domain dispute, sure, where the jury awarded about $300,000 to Kokomo Glass, but it sounds like the city will appeal that decision. This is part of an economic development near the square, is that correct, that the city wanted to build upon?
Yes. Well, this is where the block where the hotel conference center is. To paint the picture, Kokomo Glass had two buildings, one both along Union Street, one on one side, one on the other. This was not their store or their showroom. This was a kind of a cinder block building that they used for a little bit of storage and fabrication, some of those things. We have already acquired the building and taken it down. This has been going on. What the case was really over is what is the proper compensation for that building. This was, I think the first time maybe the second time I've had to use eminent domain in the 11 plus years. And so the dispute was not over whether we should have it or not, or whether it's part of if we can do this, we're past that. It's what's the proper compensation. So we feel like I think we may have already filed the appeal. We think, we went through what's the statute, which is getting proper appraisals. And, my job is to represent the taxpayers. And even though there may be for whatever, there may be some emotions tied to this cinder block building that was kind of a warehouse. The truth is, we should only be paying what the proper value is. So we'll do what's best for taxpayers and make sure that we're not overpaying for property.
Yeah, and I thought that the interesting point that the article brought up, and not that it's this was a legal thing or not, but that sometimes the eminent domain doesn't take into effect the cost of moving for a business or other things. That's mainly just the land, which is kind of an interesting perspective for the landowner, but not necessarily something that every landowner is going to get.
Yeah, and keep in mind, it wasn't their store location. You know, that's right. if most people really probably, the building's already down, like I say, and it's been raised. But most people think, even people I've talked to didn't realize that we weren't talking about their actual storefront and that we were talking about a building across the street. So they didn't have to necessarily, they have relocated their store, but they have been talking about doing that for quite some time. So.
Speaking of convention center, when I drove in, there were two things I saw. There was some work being done on the convention center site, and then I also saw some baseball players outside having batting practice at Municipal Stadium. It's a little sign of spring there. So I know two different things happening there, but maybe you can fill us in on what's going on.
Well, they're both taking place. And they're within a block of each other.
Yeah.
We are now in the. In fact, the building's just about down. We moved our transit center. Relocated it so that we could put the hotel conference center on the block you referenced. And so the buildings come down. So they're in the process of really breaking up. Now the building's down, but breaking up the concrete pad and the asphalt pads surrounding it and getting the site prepared. And then, Indiana University Kokomo, I would guess it's probably them that are out there practicing baseball. They've had multiple games and have already been using the municipal stadium for baseball at Indiana University Kokomo. So probably what you saw there. Although high school is getting ready to start here, and then they've had some preseason games, local high schools have, but the regular season starts here in the next week or two.
Quick follow-up on the convention center site is, did the state go ahead with approvals for the soil, possible contamination?
Yep. Yeah, there's always a remediation plan, and so we've got a remediation plan in place, and all things are moving forward.
Anything else? That's all I had.
Anything?
Kokomo Beach? I saw there were some photos. I don't know where I saw them, but construction is happening on the Kokomo Beach.
Yeah, we're in the process, hoping that we get this all completed by Memorial Day, but we're making the largest investment at our municipal pool since its opening in 2002. And so they're putting in a large playground, water-related playground equipment, and doing upgrades to the major slides, the large slides, and just doing a really, giving it a kind of a new coat of paint. So it should look really nice for kids this summer, and we are not increasing the admission price. So it'll still be $5 for kids to get in.